Ramaswamy, the Special Representative of the Secretary General for Children and Armed Conflict. It is my pleasure to welcome Lieutenant General Babacar Gaye, Assistant Secretary General and Military Advisor to the UN today. For nearly 5 years, Lieutenant General Gaye served as Force Commander of the United Nations Organization Mission in the Democratic Republic of the Congo, known by its French acronym MONUC, where he had a leading role in introducing the concept of child protection into the daily work of his soldiers. The Eastern Democratic Republic of Congo remains a dangerous place for children. Girls and boys are recruited, sexually abused, killed and maimed by many parties to conflict. Despite the prevailing hostile environment, the United Nations peacekeeping mission in the Congo has made major strides in monitoring child rights abuses and advocating for the rights of Congolese children. It is now beginning a dialogue with the government to prepare an action plan to end child recruitment and is already involved in the release of child soldiers. It is my pleasure to speak to Lieutenant General Gaye today and to gain first-hand insights into the critical role of the United Nations peacekeepers in protecting children in Congo. You have had a lot of experience in the DRC and also in other parts of the world. What are the child's rights violations you see in these operations?
Before my deployment to the Congo, my main concern was the rights of the children to go to school. Maybe because my mother is a teacher, I don't know, but it was always my concern. Upon my deployment in the Congo, I unfortunately realized that in addition to this right, there was more grave violations taking place in the Congo. And upon arriving to Olungu, I received from the groupman chief a letter where he was explaining the way the FDLR were coming down to the villages, abducting the young girls and returning to the bush along with them, and sending them back, unfortunately, where they were pregnant.
And did you find a lot of children being recruited as soldiers as well?
We saw for the first time young boys with AK-47 in the Congo. It was very moving. All the commanding officers, even I can say all the rank and files, they were moved by these images. They realized that it was not the right place for children to be in armed groups, to have an AK-47, to be involved in these atrocities on a daily basis. And we have been very fortunate because within the mission, our child protection advisor did a lot to ensure that there was an even awareness of the content of the relevant resolution. So meaning that the first issue is the awareness. And then, in all the operations, the issue of child is bearing in mind by all the commanders. Definitely, when they operate, they are not specifically operate for this purpose, but every time they are facing an issue of child protection, they are bearing in mind what is the policy of the mission, the policy of the United Nations regarding this issue.
And was there a regular training of peacekeepers by the child protection section of the UN?
Definitely, there is a very good training. I have to say that for the leadership, meaning the staff officers and the military observers, this is really properly done because they have an induction training. For the commanding officer, the same, because upon arriving, they have some kind of induction visit in Kinshasa, where they used to meet with all the substantive sections. For the rank and file, it's more complicated. But what is important is for the leadership to be aware of the content of the politics, and it is the case. The main purpose was to educate the commanders because we have an important turnover within the military commanders. So I think that education is definitely properly done in the field missions.
What do you think has been successful?
I think that what has been successful, first of all, the fact that the children, the child protection advisors have been included not only in all the operations, but also in all the demobilization and disarmament operations, the DDR operations. I think it's very important. It has created within all the stakeholders an awareness of the importance of the child protection issues. In this matter of child protection, if they want their action to be seen as successful, So, having success in the child protection issues is seen now as a full component of the success of a mission. I think this is the main success. We will see the fruits of that in the future.
But more and more recently, we're being called upon by international public opinion, really, to protect civilians. And that seems to be more and more responsibility that is falling on peacekeepers. How are we adapting to that, to the protection of civilians? The peacekeeping operation that was initially just observers keeping combatants apart, how are we now dealing with this broader mandate of protecting civilians?
Definitely, this is one of the main challenges that our forces are facing on the field. A lot has changed in the peacekeeping mission. Currently, I can say that half of the 15 peacekeeping missions deployed on the field have a mandate to protect the civilian. In Congo, we did a lot in this respect. First of all, in order to understand the environment in which we are operating. And in this respect, we have developed tools such as the GMAC with the Joint Mission Analysis Cell, and also the Senior Management Protection Meeting that give to all the decision makers a clear picture of the threats over the population on a weekly basis. First of all, what is important is to understand the environment, some kind of 911 system on the field. And we have developed in this respect several tools. First of all, the battalions, they have set up surveillance center. We have also distributed cell phones and created a community warning network, a community alert network, meaning that the community, they know that they can call United Nations if there is something developing that may belong to them. And last but not least, most of our battalions, they have set up in several villages, village vigilance committees. So first of all, understanding of the environment. Number two, having a good warning. And now, protecting the population, physical protections. The paradigm is that prisons equal protections. The problem is that we cannot be everywhere and every time. It's the issue because there is a problem of the ratio between our forces, the superficie, and the population to protect. But at least if there is a good warning, a good analysis of the situation, we can preempt violence and develop our peacekeepers where we are expecting violence against the population. Now, last but not least, if you are present, you need to be deterrent. You are deterrent only if the different stakeholders are aware of your capacity and your will to use force in order to protect them. But the positive image that I will, let's say, retain from my stay in the Congo is everywhere we went, the reaction of the children vis-à-vis the military presence. They immediately understood that this presence means security for them. And children, definitely, their main concern is to play, is to have fun, is certainly to go to school, but they cannot understand all the stakes that are the one of the adults. Meaning that the way they used to smile, the way they used to run after our vehicles, like children in all the countries, peaceful countries, and countries in turmoil, children are reacting near an image and of hope that despite the difficulties, this country one day will be peaceful and that United Nations will have participated to the, let's say, setting up peace in the country. So it's the image that I will always keep with me.
Thank you, Dr. Darugai. It's a good note to end this discussion. Thank you for spending this time with us.
Thank you.
Thank you.